Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Okay, let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for using us, calling us to serve you, to be, Lord, a part of building your local church, not only in Seattle, but all over the world, Father. We pray, Lord, that one day many of us will go out and bless other cities and nations, and we'll go and impart and teach other churches. Help us, Father, to be a blessing to many parts of the world. Father, we know that what we are learning tonight, it will not be just the benefits of this local church, but it will one day bring blessings to many, many lives in other cities. Father, we pray that you will increase the anointing in our life to be able to serve you, to fulfill the calling and the vision you have given to your church. Father, we want to finish the course. We want to run the marathon to the end. We want to meet with you at the end, at the judgment seat of Christ. And we want to hear you say, Lord, that good and faithful servant, come and rejoice with your master. Father, we pray, Lord, that all the brothers and sisters in our church will be faithful in doing what you call them to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Tonight we would like to discuss and talk about the topic of one-on-one discipleship. And actually this kind of principle has been practiced in our church all along from the first day we started the church. But we haven't talked about it for a long time. And I believe that by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we have developed and we have learned so much in the past many years to improve this ministry. I remember when I first started a church, I went out to follow up many people like Yong. You know, I asked Yong to come to my house and we learned the Bible together. I encouraged him to serve God, and I remember driving to Somerset. Is that right? Somerset? In Bellevue. Is it called Somerset? Somerset. In Bellevue, at that time, Tai was living there. So I went there with Pastor Da and followed her up and taught her the lesson about repentance and prayer. So follow up has been done in our church from the first day. And In fact, when the church was small, I was doing that myself a lot. I used to run around, follow up people, meet people. I remember I met Peng. Many times we drove to Vern House, Pastor Vern House, and we were sitting in the car, and I taught Peng the Bible. At that time, he was a new believer. So we try to help new believers to grow. But as the church grows and we have so many leaders, I don't do that follow up on new believer that much anymore. I try to give this responsibility to care group leader, unit leaders and shepherds in the church. So we want to bring this issue to remind everyone and to make sure that we all go the same direction. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28. I believe everyone knows that scripture. It's a command of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28 is not in the PowerPoint. So don't worry about PowerPoint right now. Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20. Jesus gave the last command to his disciple. Go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus said that go and make disciples. He did not say go and make churchgoers. He did not say go and make consumers, but make disciples. If you look at John chapter, I believe John chapter 20. Let me see here. John chapter 21, Jesus said that in verse 15 on, I just read part of it. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I loved you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Wow, three times. Jesus said, if you love me, you feed my sheep. So you can see here that according to the scripture, number one, taking care of God's sheep is a command of Jesus Christ. Making disciple is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this command is given to all the believers. Amen. So we all need to learn how to take care of God's sheep and make disciple. And I believe that if you can do that, you open the door for the blessing to come into your life. Why? Because the Bible says that if you obey me, obey my voice, and follow my command, the blessings will come and overtake you. I believe that many believers in the world have not seen so much blessing or get into a lot of troubles because they don't obey the command of Jesus. Out of either ignorantly, because they didn't know the Bible, the churches don't teach them, or because they just rebelliously, you know, go against God's command and say, I don't care what God say. So if you want God to bless you, you need to obey the command of Jesus Christ, and that is to take care of his sheep. So are you convinced now that this is what is Jesus' desire, not New Hope International system? It's not about our church system, it's the command of Jesus. It's the desire of our master that he wants us to take care of new believers. Now, can I have the next one? Why only that? Okay. You know, if you notice our Christian life, if you watch carefully, I mean, I think we all go through the walk of faith. And you notice there is a stage in your life that is very shaky after you accepted Jesus Christ. It's like a baby. When the baby came out, a lot of cares, a lot of protections. You know, mom woke up in the middle of the night, feed, and you know, a lot of work for the mom in the first 2 years. After the kids start to grow up and walk and run and become like a toddler, so it's easier than the baby. So the same thing with Christian life, brand new converts, the new converts are very vulnerable to leave their faith or to walk away or to even go in the wrong direction. You know, if you want to train children, whatever way, you need to train them since they are young. It is very difficult to change people later on. I noticed that It's easier. I give you one example. Mike Odom. He came to our church many years ago. He right away came into the atmosphere that everyone is on fire. Everyone go to care group. Oh, we take care of one another. We serve God. And you notice that it's very difficult to unplug that lifestyle from him now. I noticed that Mike really loves his sheep. He really takes care of his care group. He faithful to the church. He loves the word. Because he grew up that way from the first day in this church. That's how he grew up. He was trained that way. But it's more difficult if you get somebody in this church after they become Christian for 5 years, but never go to care group, never be on fire, just hang and in there being lukewarm. It's hard to change a 5 years old Christian to be on fire later on because they did not get used to that lifestyle. So the golden period to help people to be effective for the kingdom of God actually is the first few years or the first few months of Christian life. You agree with me? Actually, lately, I even come to this point that I want all the believers in our church, when they get saved, they should get touched by the fire of God right away. So they get used to the fire of God and then they don't come in and, what is going on here? You know, kind of, why people get touched by God? It will be come normal to Bible study, go to care group, serve God, get involved in the ministry, and love the fire of God from the first day. And that's what happened in Bangkok right now. All the new believers get touched by God. Boom. They are on fire. And you don't have to try to unlearn and relearn all these things because they get into the Book of Acts type of Christian from the first day. You understand what I mean? So that's what I want to see. In fact, even God spoke to me today. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. He said that every new believer from now on, he told me this. Every new believer from now on, get them filled with the Holy Spirit very fast. Get them filled with the joy of God very fast. Cast demons out of them and get them filled with the fire of God as soon as possible. Amen. He told me. So I go to Bangkok. This time I plan to do this. When I do the altar call, I will ask people who accept Christ to stand up, pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit right away, like this. Speak in tongue. And then fill them with the joy of God right away and come out. I cast out demon out of you right away. One day. Get it done all one time. Don't waste time anymore. Amen. So clean them up. Amen. Because so many Christians live with demons in them for a long time. For years and years, never been cleaned up. So, you know, I think it's good to train people right away in the church to be that kind of people. To be love the Holy Ghost, cleanse, get into the fire of God as soon as possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so you can see that there are two stages. I don't want to call two stages, but actually it's real. Two kind of period of time of Christian walk. The first period is a baby Christian. Just come into the kingdom. Don't know much. Don't understand the Bible. Don't know where to go. Cannot help themselves that much. Then when they read the Bible, they don't understand the Bible very well. So new in the kingdom. So these people need very, very intensive nurturing and care. Or discipleship. Or mentoring. And then after this person established, this new believer established in the faith, in the spiritual lifestyle, then that person will connect and commit into the local church. And to God, and then go into the second stage, or actually it's a transition into the stage of discipleship, into maturity, growing up to serve, to develop the gifts, the character, to the point that he can one day go out and begin to produce fruit and make disciples again. That is the goal of Jesus. Jesus wants every believer who come in, establish in the local church, grow in spiritually, commit to local church, love one another, grow up, and eventually he can rise up to use the gift to help other people to grow. Keep producing 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16, 16 to 32, 32 to 64, 64 to 128. So actually every one of you should have that goal that I'm going to produce another 2. I'm going to get somebody saved. Amen. And produce another 2. I was so impressed when I read email from Dr. Jimmy, Dr. Jim in Thailand. She said that I got them saved. I woke up at 6 a.m., went to visit their home, teach, and then now all on fire. I heard that about 30 people coming to Bangkok next Sunday. Just because they're all on fire, they say that the number keep increasing right now. I believe I'm going to have about maybe 300 or 400 people in Bangkok this time, which is a big group. A lot of pastors, I heard that a lot of pastors are coming. Many pastors from other churches are coming because they heard about the fire of God. They want to be touched by it. I think it's going to spread in Thailand rapidly because people need the power of God. So we can see that she went out to visit them at 6 a.m. She drove about half an hour and then disciple and nurture. And now she wants to train them to be servant in her local church. She is training people right now. Very hardworking woman. You know, so I think God will bless her with a big church because she works so hard to make disciples. So you can see that our goal is to get new believer to establish. And that is the first stage of discipleship or mentoring. And then get into the church, grow up, become strong. One day can send out locally to start another church, another group in North Seattle, Lynnwood area. Maybe another church in Tacoma, in Federal Way. Maybe another church in Mexico. Maybe another church in Taiwan or something. So these people need to grow up and multiply themselves again. They should not just be stuck in the local church as a baby Christian forever. Amen. So this is kind of the thinking about one-on-one. Why one-on-one? Maybe we see next one, the next PowerPoint. It's one thing to have put a lot of bottles and you throw water out of the bucket to the all those bottles. You think how much water going to go into the bottles if you just throw the water like this? Really a little bit, maybe a few drops. But if you go to that bottle and pour water directly from the bucket into that bottle, a lot of water will go in. Is that right? Bigger amount of water will get into the bottle. The same thing. I believe Jesus understands this principle. So what he did, even though he ministered to the multitudes, to hundreds and thousands of people, but he picked and chose 12 people with a few ladies around, like Mary Magdalene, all these to go walking with him, helping him, serving the Lord Jesus in his ministry. I believe that there are more than 12 people following him in reality. And believe me, I think there are more. But only 12 that he was very close and he was able to speak that to their life very openly. So these people were close to him. And you notice that, if you notice carefully, these 12, and I believe a group of people that follow Jesus closely, maybe that 120 people in the upper room, were the ones who changed the world at that generation. Not the multitudes, not people who get healed and get food, but people who hang around with Jesus. People who really get close to Jesus and get discipled by him in a close way. I believe with all my heart that there is a power of small group and personal touch. When you get close to somebody, number one, you can get direct impact in teaching and lifestyle and impartation. Is that right? Very strong. I don't know if you have that experience or not. I believe, Candace, you came from the church where they don't have one-on-one discipleship. You agree with me that since you came here and you have been disciple one-on-one, your life grows faster, more, you know, firm in your faith, and you grow faster, you have more confidence. not only have a direct impartation and right iron sharpen iron in one on one. Number two, I believe totally in the issue of impartation of the Spirit. You notice that the mighty men of David, they came out from the outcast, the robber, the people that the society did not want them anymore. But after they hang around with King David for a few years, they became giant killers like King David. In other words, the anointing of King David, he has the anointing of killing giants imparted into their life. There is a power of association. There's a power of rubbing shoulder toward one another. Amen. You notice that a lot of leaders in our church minister and do things the same like me because of the association. Pastor Da was preaching very powerfully last Sunday. Totally a chain woman. You know, she chained like 180 degree. And when she went home, she said like this to me. Honey, I believe that last trip in Tampa that we sat lunch and dinner with all these evangelists and mighty women like Pastor Adonica, Mom, we just sat there and rubbed shoulder with them and talked to them, and we just the anointing in that room is so strong because all these great evangelists, the saved 50,000 people, 100,000 people are sitting in that room. All these big evangelists were sitting in that, you remember? You know, all these people would rub into you. And when you come home, you just, something happened on the inside of you because of that small group, this like association and talking, and you know, it's happened. And the same thing happened to Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim came, I remember Pastor from Phuket, she came to the meeting last August. She hang around with me and Pastor Da all the time. She just follow us everywhere. She said, I want to rub your shoulder. You know, she follow everywhere. She fell under the power many times. And you know what happened? After she went back home, when they would start to worship, the Holy Spirit fell. And then revival happened in the church. She didn't even lay hand. Why? Because that anointing has been imparted into her. And she brought that anointing back to her church. So there is supernatural impartation like this into people that come and get close to you and wrap around you. How many people agree with that? That's why one-on-one discipleship is so, or small group discipleship is so powerful than just sitting in a big room and try to teach the whole big group. So when you get closer to somebody, you get that. Amen. You get the same anointing. You get the impartation. In this one-on-one, we can teach, for especially this is the book that we produce called Pursuit of Spiritual Growth. This book is designed for shepherds or mentor to teach foundation for new believers in our church. And I'm going to start from new believers first, okay? New believers, can you go to next one? So in this book, there are four parts. Obey Jesus' command, four lessons. Establish spiritual lifestyle, number one, four lessons. Establish spiritual lifestyle, number two, four lessons. And then go deeper in the spiritual lifestyle, another few lessons there. Amen. So this book, we recommend that every new believer in our church will go through the books. We'll go through all this lesson. After they finish the lesson, they can have good foundation. This is a foundational book for our church that will produce. If you don't have it, get one, buy one. You know, we have in the stock. Okay, next slide, please. Now, when you want to, we're going to talk about taking care of new believers first. When we take care of new believers, we need to look at a few factors. To be a shepherd for the new believers doesn't need to be so-called appointed. Because appointment means giving authority. Giving authority, like you, we appoint or ordain elders. We appoint or ordain certain group of people to have authority in the church. But to be mentor or to be to be shepherds for new believer, you are approved by the pastors. So once you finish, for example, a person come in, John came in the church, new believer, get trained by another shepherd or another mentor, finish all the whole book. The shepherd see already, or the care group leader see that this person really commit to the care group, commit to be disciple, commit to grow, see the more stable spiritual life, you know, not up and down, and very committed to the local church, become a member of the church, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, all these things. Obey, show the lifestyle of commitment to be disciple. Then you can go to Pastor Caesar. That person maybe as a group or one person, and then have an introduction interview. And then after Pastor Caesar say, okay, Saul, Pastor Caesar and the care group leader unit, you do feel that you are ready to be a mentor or a shepherd for the new believer. We approve it. Amen. Now, after we approve, then, so your name is in the list of approved shepherd to look after new believers. The new believers come in, we encourage them to look for discipleship to be mentor or shepherded. We can do many different ways to encourage them. Amen. For example, if they come in by knowing somebody in the care group in the church, it's easy. You just talk, for example, if a friend of Pei Chi came in and say, oh, I'm a new believer now, what do next? So Pei Chi can talk, oh, why don't you just go and talk to the pastor or the care group leader, say, I need a person to look after me, to teach me. And then the leader will match together. You need to understand one thing, being a mentor or shepherd to the new believer doesn't mean you have authority over that new believer, because you're not a pastor. You don't have you are just like a, more like a babysitter. I don't know the right word or not. It's kind of, you try to help that new believer to grow and establish. And that kind of ministry is not an open-end ministry. It ends at one day. Maybe 6 months, maybe a year. I hope not more than 1 year, that the shepherd or the mentor will establish or the lesson with the new believers in 6 months to a year. After that, that commitment is done. When it's done, then they may become friend. They may become peer in the same care group and serve God together. Or maybe the relationship go deeper to become next stage or discipleship. They continue. But there is no ownership. Mentor or shepherd do not own the sheep. Do not claim this is mine. You cannot go to somebody else. You cannot talk to somebody else. There's no authority or ownership. That commitment of helping one another or helping the new believer will end one day. Okay, I'm talking about now the new believers. Okay, I'm not talking about old believers in the church. One-on-one follow-up new believers. So it will end. How about if people come in, don't know anyone? Lately, we have more people who just walk in now. If you notice, last Sunday, we have about 6-7 people walk in here that did not know anyone in this church. If they accept Christ. So, this is my plan, but we haven't done yet. Okay? My plan is this, that number one, off and on, we're going to make announcement on the stage about one-on-one. And set up a table for people to sign up if they want to have one-on-one training with them. So we know who want to be disciple. And then we will bring that name to all the leadership and try to match people. But definitely, matching, we will look at many factors such as woman and woman. You see what I mean? People of the same sex or same background or people maybe in the same care group. The chemistry go along, the gifting, they know each other, So we don't just shuffle somebody to another person and say, you must take this person. We don't do that in our church. We just have to interview both of sides and see what is the best for the sheep. So again, the focus is not on the mentor or the shepherd. The focus is on the sheep, that how we can help the sheep to grow. The goal is to help them to grow. The goal is not to, so that you can kind of exercise my gift and authority, that I can beat up on this person, I'm going to tell this person what to do, I'm going to show that I how good teaching I ability I have. No. The focus is not on you, the shepherd. The focus is on the new believer. How I can help, and I'm going to talk that in detail later on, how I can help this new believer to grow. And there are many ways. So we try to match. Another thing I like to do in the future, I haven't talked to Pastor Cesar yet. I'm thinking, this morning God told me, I woke up and God told me that the church has grown and we have so many new people now that we don't know. So we should make a book. In that book we can give to all the new member and new guests in our church. In that book we'll tell everything in brief way. Who is our church? What is our statement of faith? What we believe, what is our vision, who is pastor, how many churches we link to, like short, and then at the end, these are the things you can get involved in this church. So, for example, people open that manual. Okay, you have music ministry, worship ministry, evangelism ministry, sound system ministry, blah, 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 who you can contact. And what, how many care groups? So this book is going to be updated all the time. How many care groups? How you want to have a shepherd? How you can contact? All these things. So when people come in, they can just take a look at the book. I give you example. Last Sunday, we have two American ladies sitting here. They don't know anyone. How are they going to know our church? If they don't have this book, it may take another 10 years to find out that we have some ministry for them. So in this way, we hand, okay, they open, they're looking for young postgrad, young professional group to hang out with. They open, call Dorothy. They will call, I want to hang out with the young people in the church. What can I do? So you see, this kind of help people to plug in as soon as possible. So Pastor Cesar, you have a new project now. Do you like the idea? I think we need to do this to help people to plug in. But Pastor Cesar is not the one who's going to write it. By the way, he cannot ask people to give him information, gather information, and Pastor Tyson will help edit. And also, Jocelyn and Tyson, Pastor Tyson going to help make the book very presentable in the wording and the design, but maybe done by somebody else. Pastor Cesar will just organize it, try to make the book done. But we have design, we have people who write, like worship ministry will write to them, brief, half page. So people will know, maybe put picture in there, something like that. Amen. I think people need to know information of our church. As we grow, we'll be less confusing in our church. Okay. After you match new believer and mentor together, I hope I lead you little by little to understand. Okay, what we are doing. After we match, then we need to look at all these factors, okay? Look at the PowerPoint there. Learning styles. To be a good shepherd, you need to know two things. You need to know your sheep and you know yourself. Amen? Besides knowing your God, you need to know your God too. Because you cannot bring people to where you have the work gone through. Is that right? That's why I ask God to have more experiences with Him as much as I can, especially spiritual experiences, because I cannot bring this church to where I've never been to. So I need to have experiences as much as I can. So you need to look at the learning style and your own yourself, who you are. Okay, and I'm going to go into that later on. Availability. How much time you can give. And how much time they can meet you, and where and when, and what day, what time you can meet each other. level of new believers' hunger. Definitely, if the new believer are very hungry, 3 months done, pow, 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 every week, you know, maybe 2 times a week. You see? Okay, set goal together means set goal that, okay, we're going to finish this in 6 months. I expect you to get this book done, lifestyle of spiritual growth here. We set goal, we're going to get this done, set goal together. And then select the tools, how to do it. And I'm going to go into that later on, okay? Always pray together and share experience. So in other words, in this discipleship with new believer, it's not just about coming and sit down, open the Bible. I'm going to teach you right now. Done, bye. That is not discipleship I'm talking about. Just come and teach and done. You build relationship. You show example. You pray together. You spend time understanding, learning. You know, sometimes I remember when Pastor Noom tried to go and disciple my sister and her husband in Bangkok. My sister and my brother-in-law were Christian, have been Christian for a long time, for more than almost the same time as I have been a Christian. But they were in a church that there is no discipleship until they joined River of Life. Pastor Noom went to their home many times, and the first few times, he didn't even open the Bible. He just went and built relationship and talk and get to know them. They get to know him, build trust and credibility first so that the sheep will understand that we come with love. We are not coming here to hit you with the Bible. You see what I mean? So there is some relationship there. Now, let me look at the learning style and select the tools a little bit here. Okay. Please don't try to be somebody else. You need to know your gift and your strength, and you need to know your sheep. I give you an example. If you are a very good teacher, and you are very grounded in the Word of God, then you can spend time teaching yourself a lot. That's okay. You can open the Bible, discuss, bam, 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 teach, encourage. You can teach either formally or informally, open the Bible, teach, or you just sit and talk and just explain. You see what I mean? But if you know that your gift is not a teacher, it doesn't mean you cannot take care of new believers. You can teach. Nothing wrong about teaching. So, but if you know that your strength is not teaching, don't try to torture your sheep with a lot of teaching. Because you cannot speak well, you cannot explain well, they sit there, I don't know what you're talking about here. You are not a teacher. I mean, just make me even more confused. You know, some people who cannot teach, the more they say, the more they confuse. People get confused. So in this way, it doesn't mean you cannot serve. But use other tools. Like for example, again, as I say, the focus is not about you. The focus is them. Maybe you just take your sheep to the group teaching. Amen. You have the next one. If I cannot teach at all, never mind, your team can help you. Yes. In other words, you can bring to the group team. Like maybe your care group leader is a good teacher and he has a group Bible study. I give you, for example, Pastor Tyson gathered 3 or 4 men last Tuesday and he taught the whole group together. I know everything that happened here. Okay. So he taught the whole group as a group. Then if you know that you cannot teach well, just bring your sheep there and let him teach. It's not about my ego, your ego, this and that. No, 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 no. Just work as a team. Amen. If you can teach, I don't mean you cannot teach, just try to teach. But if you're not a teacher, don't try to teach a lot. Try to do more like going out dinner together, build relationship, pray together, visit, take them out, encourage them by your word, whatever, you know, and or maybe give them CD to listen. Amen. Let me say this one more time, that the My purpose of making CD, there are three purposes. I want to explain to you. And that's going to apply into this class right now, this purpose of one-on-one. Number one, the purpose that I produce all this CD is to make the teaching, teach the lesson systematically in detail. Because I know that every teacher in the church is every shepherd in the church is not a teacher. So if the sheep only depend on the shepherd alone, the sheep may not get the whole benefit because the teaching is not systematic and detailed. And the level of anointing may be different from me. That's number one. So I want to make sure that if you, for example, you teach about giving, you may go touch this and that, but you don't go through the whole book because you are not a teacher. You cannot explain like me. Then just hand the CD and say, listen to about giving. And that new believer can listen in systematic way, in detail. Number two, I believe that people can listen to the sermon again and again and again and again and again. Pastor Da just talked to her sister, real sister. This is brand new to her sister about giving. She's a brand new believer. She told Pastor Da that she listened to my CD about giving about 6 times. Now she is a giver. And that she just gave money to another poor lady in the church. But this happened to her all the time. She said, now money come in supernaturally because I give. Even make her more convinced that, wow, the teaching is real. You see, so sometimes people don't get it overnight. They need to listen again and again. I heard that Pastor James in Phuket listened to my teaching about the fire of God so many times. And eventually to the point that he just stand, the fire of God came down on him. Because he just got it. He said, I want it myself. So the fire of God came without laying on of hand. You see what I mean? Because they listen, 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 listen until they really get it. So I believe CD will help. If you listen again and again, you're going to get it eventually. The problem is that we sometimes are too lazy. We listen to sermon on Sunday and we say, oh, I know already. I know all this stuff. I know. But you don't really know until you really practice it. Amen. So that's the second reason. The third reason, very quickly, I want the word of God to spread out all over the world as much as I can without me being there. So CD is a good tool. So I don't need to be there. Last Sunday, 11 people accept Christ in Chiang Mai. Amen. And they send CD. So now CD spread to Chiang Mai. CD, like mad. The word of God go out free. Amen. So it's very exciting, you know, that we can spread the word of God out. So look at your gift. Look at your, look at the other side. What kind of learning style they have? Some people may like to be taught. Some people may like to just sit and chair and talking. Instead of being taught all the time, then those people you just hand a CD and they listen themselves. Don't try to force your way in. Don't try to do something that is not your gift. You can, if you're not sure you have the gift of teaching, you can try to teach for a while. But you notice that people start to fall asleep, then you know it's not your gifting. Don't force it. You understand what I mean? Okay. Look at the next one. So there are many tools. The book that we talk about, the lifestyle, you know, establishing lifestyle, the CD, the tool by bringing person to another group, bringing people in the group study together, you know, book, maybe buy a book for person to read. Amen. There's so many good books out there that people can read. You use different way, you know, to reach out to your new belief, to the new believers. So study the manual, listen to the CD yourself. Make sure you are grounded in the Word of God. Amen. Don't be a shepherd without knowing the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. Then after you study, you can make your own personal outline to teach. Because the style may be different, your style may be different from my style. You can make your own personal outline and life example. Discuss together and don't worry about grouping people together and teach one time too, because that will save a lot of time for you. Next. So I talk about this already that who can be a mentor or a shepherd for new believers, a member of the church, finish the lesson, commit to serve, and show commitment to the church. Amen. And approved, not appointed, approved by the pastoral team, especially Pastor Cesar will interview, and we want to have the name of all these shepherds in our church so that we can distribute new believers to them. You see, remember, you cannot bring people to where you have never been to. And you yourself, if you want to be a mentor, you yourself need to commit to grow yourself. Amen. You cannot be happy with where you are. I just emailed Pastor James this morning. I say, Pastor, let us think that we are still children. We don't know everything, and let's keep growing to the next level. We don't think we have arrived yet. We need to grow ourselves. We need to grow and learn and study and continue to receive more and more from God. Because if you don't grow, your sheep will not grow with you. Or your sheep may bypass you one day. So you need to keep growing, keep learning, keep studying, keep being hungry, keep, you know, moving on. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Amen? Next one. I want to emphasize again, in mentoring or shepherding, you build relationship. You need to spend time. You cannot shepherd through the phone only. You need to spend time to get a rub shoulder. Spend time, build relationship, getting to know the sheep. They are not your sheep. They are God's sheep. Don't take ownership. Okay? No one own anyone in this church. I don't own anyone in this church. You are all God's sheep. Okay? Build relationship, get to know them. Do activities together. Like, this Saturday, I and Dwayne gonna go to what is the name of the city? Yeah, we're gonna go to Eastern Washington together. I feel that the more blessing that I'm gonna go there is to spend time with Dwayne than anything else in the car. We're gonna go to visit his brother-in-law and his sister who is thinking about starting the church and associate with us. So we want to go visit this couple who the man graduated from Northwest Bible College. So we want to go and encourage them to start a church again. Amen. So we spend time together, getting to know each other, building. The goal is to build spiritual life. So you can take people out to witness together, pray time together, go and do serve God together, evangelize together. Whatever, to build spiritual life and pray for that person. Again, I want to emphasize that being a shepherd is not being a police. Okay? You are not there to find faults and condemn. I make this choice. I make this decision that I'm not in this church to find fault with anyone and condemn anyone and pull the gun out to kill anyone. Our responsibility too is to build people up and love them. Amen. This is important. You know what? I want to warn you, every single sheep in the kingdom of God has flawed character and problem and weaknesses. If you're going to go in there and try to look, keep on focusing on their weaknesses and keep getting mad at them, you will never be able to accomplish the job. Your job is to go in and build them up, encourage them, and let God take care of their weakness. Only one person in the world that can change people is God, not you. Amen. I'm serious. Your job is to encourage and build a love, not to try to go in and judge and condemn and torture people. Your job is to go in, encourage, pray for, build up, and let God take care of that person. God gonna change that person. Amen. So I want to let you know this. It's not, you are not a police. You're not there to put people in jail, to torture people with equipment and hang them up. Amen. Our job is to Just love them. Teach them the truth. You know, sometimes teaching doesn't have to be opening the Bible. It can be just casual talk about life, about how what God teach you, or testimony. You can share testimony with people. Let's look at the Bible a little bit. Otherwise, people who listen to this CD would think that I never teach the Bible. Let's look at some scripture here. Okay. Let's look at some scripture here. If you look from the book of Genesis, you can see that God already believed in one-on-one. God believed in one-on-one all along throughout the Bible. Give you example. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Before Adam and Eve sinned, God came to the garden every single day and spent time with them. Amen. Our God loved to spend time with his people. Actually, right now, one way that God make one-on-one discipleship with you is by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, and He is making one-on-one discipleship with you on inside you. But God still uses people anyway. So God used both method, man and the Holy Spirit. So at that time, because there is no one else, there was no one else. So God came down Himself to the Garden of Eden and discipled them. Disciple Adam and Eve. How he discipled them? The Bible says in verse 15 to 20, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. So number one, he trained them to work. Is that right? And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. God trained Adam and Eve how to be submissive. Wow. Discipleship. Train them. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Number three, not only God spend time, train the man how to work, train the man how to be submissive. God supported. God tried to do everything for the man to be successful. So again, your job is not to go in to be lording it over to, I'm the boss here. No, you are the supporter. You are the servant. You go and help. Whatever they need help. So God helped. How he helped Adam? Adam gave him a wife. Amen. So he supported the man. Suitable for him. And then go on and on. So you can see that God really make disciple with Adam from the beginning, from the book of Genesis. Now look at another example. One-on-one discipleship. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You notice that before Elijah left the world, he trained a disciple, rub shoulder, impartation of the spirit, an anointing. And Elisha performed double portion of the miracle compared to Elijah. Amen. So this is a training, one-on-one training. Look at another example in the Bible, Acts chapter 9, 26 to 28. And when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciple. He is Paul. Paul tried to join the disciple, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So when Saul got saved, one person picked him up as a new believer, trained him. Who is that man? Barnabas. Barnabas trained Paul. Disciple Paul. Amen. One-on-one. Look at another example. Acts chapter 15 verse 40. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. 16:25. Acts 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were serving God together. Paul trained Silas one-on-one. They went out to serve God together one-on-one. You see another example here? Another one, Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So Moses trained a man named Joshua. And after Moses passed away, Joshua rose up and led the children of Israel. You see? So this kind of one-on-one discipleship here since the early, since the book of Genesis, Exodus, or this book. Look at another one. Acts 15:37-39. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. So Barnabas, after he split from Paul, he wanted to train John Mark. You see? So one-on-one, they train, they go together. Amen. So praise God, one-on-one is in the Bible. After the new believer established in the church, then we hope and we pray that every believer in our church will be willing to go deeper into discipleship, to get trained in the ministry. And that is kind of now a little bit deeper now. At this point, the relationship may continue, or may that person may change the shepherd to another person according to the need, the gifts, and everything. I give you example. Henry trained me as a new believer. I'm a new believer. Henry trained me for 6 months. I established. I become member. I joined into the ministry. I want to serve God in this church. I'm on fire for God. He trained me well. But after 6 months or 1 year, it's over. We're done now. We are afraid now. I joined into the ministry of, for example, evangelism. I joined evangelism ministry. Then in that evangelism ministry, maybe I become the shepherd of that ministry, shepherd me and train me how to go out and knock door. You see what it changed? Okay? And that discipleship will last for a while until that person maybe 2 years, maybe 1 year. It depends. Okay, listen carefully. This is something new in our church. Don't be shocked. Okay, this is something new because I never make announcement of this before. After you disciple somebody long enough, you expect that person to grow up. No umbilical cord for the rest of their life. Amen. Listen carefully. Now, Dwayne and I, we don't have umbilical cord anymore. When he first came to church, we spent time quite a lot. But after a few years, I expect him to grow up and feed himself, do the ministry. Everything. He need to feed himself now. You know why? Two reasons. Because if he keep that umbilical cord, he will never grow up. Two, I will not have time to the next person. He will not have time for the next person because we keep stuck together like this for the rest of our life. We need to release. We release. But even though we release, it doesn't mean that the wind is not respecting me and love me. It doesn't mean I don't love him. If he has any question, if he wants to fellowship with me, have dinner together, we can still do it. We still can hang out together. But it's not like, I can keep you with me. You know, like this. I will never release you. No, I believe this is something new that I want to be clear to you. That your job, if you are a shepherd and you disciple somebody, I'm not talking about new believer now, I'm talking about old believer. You disciple somebody, at certain point you need to release them. Maybe they can go and find another shepherd because they need to train in another way now. That you release, but the relationship is still there. Therefore, please don't have this so-called attachment. Release people out so that you can go and do some disciple somebody else. Right now, like Pastor Da, have to shepherd about 15 women. I told her, release. Go to the next one. They should grow up. They should listen to their own CD, read the Bible, and grow up now. They should not be baby forever. You notice that Jesus released them at 3.5 years. Jesus' disciple make disciple only 3.5 years and say bye bye. You remember Paul? Paul went to Ephesus and discipled them for 2.5 years. If I'm not mistaken, I think 2 years, something like that. After that, he said, bye bye, go to Jerusalem and die. I leave you with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. You need to grow up yourself. Amen. I'm not talking about new believer, because new believer just come out and you need to disciple them. But after a while, like I consider, Miss Susu, we release you now. Bye bye. I released Peng long time ago. He grew up. He is a godly man. He's so solid, stable, like a rock. I don't need to nurture. I don't need to baby him anymore. But we still love each other. We still sometimes talk and decide. I mean, still the relationship is still there. And he can now, he can mingle with other people and learn from other people. Don't have to have an umbilical cord stick with me. You know what I mean? Pastor Noom, the same thing. I released Pastor Noom already. He is not attached to me. He can go learn from other pastors, from other evangelists or apostles, whatever. You know, I don't want people to be stuck with me. They need to grow up and rise up in the way of God. And they can learn from the body of Christ. It doesn't have to be me alone. You know what I mean? I think this is biblical and it's fair and it's not witchcraft. Umbilical cord, attached and keep people with you is a witchcraft. You control people. If you go, you'll betray me. You this and that. No. Let them rise up and go. Amen. No attached, no umbilical cord in this church. We expect you to grow up and rise up and go and do the work of God. But the relationship of love still there by the Holy Spirit. Not by system. Not by church system. But by the Spirit. We still love each other after you grow up by the Spirit, not by the system. Amen. It's more like internal happening because you get involved in a small group. When I say small group, can be two ways. Number one, care group, or two, ministry. Like, for example, Yukiko get involved in care group and also worship ministry. So these both are small group, actually. Is that right? So the discipleship can happen either in the small group in the ministry or happen in the care group system. It depends on what is the best for you. Again, the point is for you, not for us. That you need to release. We want you to rise up and release your gift. We don't want to put you in the box. So it can happen. But the leader in each ministry and each small group need to look for these new people come in and make sure they are disciples for a while until they are strong, and then you can release them. When I say release it again, I don't mean that you never contact or talk again. You still can talk and consult and, you know, come and talk, but you expect them to grow. You don't want them to be baby forever. You need to grow up. Amen. It may take 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I don't know. Each person is different. Yes, Pastor Da.
Questions. Question number one is the mentor and the spiritual helper, is it the same person? And second one is how long, you know, the duration of the process of discipleship, is it 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, or 1 year?
The question is, spiritual helper and mentor are the same people? They can be the same, or they can be different. I give you example. If Vince is a new believer now, his spiritual helper right now is Pastor Tyson, for example. You try to finish that in 6 months or a year. Then you grow up, you get involved now in the church. Then you say, you know, I really, really want to be a pastor and preacher. That's my calling. Then maybe the mentor change to Pastor Caesar to teach you how to preach. You see what I mean? So it can be the same person. I think it depends on what is your calling, what you're gonna get involved, and all these things. I can be the same person, a different person, whatever best for the sheep. Okay. Now, how long this discipleship will last? I think each person is different, but I hope not more than 5 years. Not more than 5 years, I hope. Maybe shorter. It depends. Each person is different. For example, if for Sarah, maybe you get discipled here. Maybe for you only 1 year, because you already have good background, you're very strong. You don't need 5 years. But somebody else maybe need longer because they have a lot of baggages to break for a while to get disciple for a while. Yeah. But the goal is to release.
Do you think is it a good idea to, you know, to say it like, okay, 2 years or three? Because if you say like 5 years, for example, you know, in reality, you know, it's a good idea to disciple. But in real life, if people have too many sheep, they cannot do the good job.
Yeah, I agree.
They cannot move to the new people that, you know, God wants to assign for them.
Amen.
Because 5 years they have to start with it.
Okay, I agree that the faster, the better. And then I think each case is different, but at the faster, maybe 2 years or something, the faster you release, but still have more like not in the paper that you still connect, but you still talk and disciple and fellowship and eat dinner together and still go on with fellowship. But you don't need to, hello, shepherd, when are you going to meet me? It's been 3 years. No, it's done. I release you. You don't need to cry. You go disciple somebody else. You spend time disciple somebody else. You know what I mean? But you still, not. I don't mind you still have dinner to get a talk and call each other, but it's not a formal way anymore. You need to grow up. And in reality, believe me, you cannot disciple people forever. You need to go move on to do something else. It is impossible. It's not healthy, actually. Yes.
I also have another thing that I have been noticing.
She has a lot of sheep. That's why this is a big issue for her. She wants to shorten as much as she can.
No,
I'm just kidding.
But one thing I also noticed that, you know, I don't know, it's happened to other people, but it does happen to me that I feel that the sheep expect me to call them or spend time with them or invite them. But the sheep don't really like call me to be my friend or to, you know, associate with me. They kind of
release.
So I think it's like a communication is two ways, you know, and relationship is two way.
Amen.
And I think that otherwise, you know, it will be the burden on the spiritual helper to always have to remember to call the sheep, but the sheep just wait for the call. And I think that is, you know, I don't know how it happened that way, but it does happen that way, at least to me. I don't know other people.
So we are changing now. We are not the old way anymore. Amen. I think last question and then we need to quit. Yes. I think our church is changing now. Yes.
First one is it looks like the ministry now has the responsibility to shepherd people for the ministry. So that means the ministry, I think, has to be prepared to do that, i.e., the current ministry right now have to train the members in their ministry to be able to teach or to be able to shepherd. Do you follow? Yeah, okay. And so that's not a question. I think it's more a clarification. Yeah. And the second one is, before a person becomes a new believer, there is what you called in your sermon, the plowing of the ground. So people should also be assigned to that area wherein you are just preparing the ground for the person to accept Christ. So, yeah. So that's okay. Another.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So that is on the evangelism side, that we all need to reach out to our non-believer friends who come here, keep reaching out to them, and don't leave them alone. We need to follow them up, and if they are not a believer yet, we should not ignore them. We should keep reaching out to the non-believers as well. Okay, so let's pray for this section, and then we will make a quick announcement regarding our goal this year. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us and revealing your plans and purpose for your church, Father. Again, Father, we want to do the best we know how, and if we make any mistake and we need to do any adjustment in our church, Father, we pray, Lord, that you will reveal to us. We are willing to change. We are willing to move on with the Holy Spirit. We don't mean to be stuck with any certain way or system or method, but may your Holy Spirit lead this church. May your Holy Spirit lead each shepherd in this church. How they're going to disciple people, how they're going to help people to grow, that they will not do things out of the textbook, but they will do things by the Spirit, by the anointing, by listening to the voice of God, Father. May your people in this church be led by the Holy Spirit all the days of their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.